Bam! Welcome to Stop the Presses here on the 15th of February, 2023. Your host, Mark Anderson. We are video simulcasting today. Livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, / Stop the Presses. There are the occasional technical glitches, but hang with us. Getting better all the time. Hello to Ron Avery, my usual co-conspirator and engineer. How you doing, Ron?
Real good, Mark. Glad to be here.
Fellow thought criminal. All that, you know?
That's it.
They say, I think it was the actor Paul Newman said, that if you've never had an enemy in your whole life, you've done something wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
There's sort of an edgy, ironic truth to that. That means you've been awfully timid, awfully conventional. You've worn that bow tie every day and those pointy shoes, and you've never changed anything, you know?
I know some guys that say, you know, I don't trust anybody that's never been to jail.
Yeah, I used to say never trust a teetotaler. I even went that far.
Yeah.
But maybe that one's a little unfair. But much of the revolution of the American colonies was forged in brew houses. So teetotaling didn't exactly contribute to American liberty, at least in the early stages.
Well, that's right. In fact, water was dangerous back then. If you did not drink beer and you drank water often, you couldn't get life insurance. They'd only give life insurance to people who drank beer.
No kidding.
Yeah. How about that? If you're drinking water, man, you're risking your life. So a lot of people that drank beer, it was processed.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I'd like to call my insurance company and say, you know, I imbibe a little bit on brew once in a while. Don't I get a cheaper rate? You know, and you know that before we get into some matters on the press, it always strikes me funny. Things are kind of turned around now. They'll say, you know, like Flint, Michigan had its drinking water some years back, maybe 5-6 years ago, completely contaminated, and people got very sick and this and that. And this ties into the press. The press acts as if it's normal to drink tap water all the time. And I'm thinking, well, it's terrible that that happened to Flint, but who drinks tap water in any quantity? It's like, really? And the press made it sound like that was just a given. That's your drinking water.
Well, I grew up doing that. We drank out of the hose out of the house, you know, just the garden hose. We drank water right out of the tap, poured it into the glass from the tap and drank it. And yeah, I don't do it now, though.
Yeah, yeah. When you're in the know, you realize that, well, they can't get rid of the fluoride residue that they get from manufacturing aluminum and fertilizer, so since it's too toxic to put in the landfills, they put it in the public water and they mass medicate. And the mass media cartel doesn't even understand the principle that just because some people believe fluoride helps your teeth doesn't mean it should go in the common water supply. With that argument, you could put vitamin C, Prozac, because people need vitamin C, people have depression. On that principle, you could put anything in the water and say, well, it's for the greater public good, as opposed to the actual rational view that every person's biochemistry is different and one man's medicine is the next man's poison. So therefore, you can't put it in the common public water supply, no matter how good you think it is.
I wish you hadn't have brought that up, because it kind of gives ideas to these people. You know, I mean, why do this vaccine, all this injection stuff, just put it, dump it in the water supply?
Well, that actually, the fluoridation of water and all the harm that can bring predates the vaccination, the revving up of vaccination, turning it into more of a weapon. It predates it by a long time. But speaking of weapons, of course, the press plays a role there in suppression, distortion, deflection, misdirection, so people can never understand that you can simply buy fluoride individually. And if you want it and your doctor or dentist says it's okay, you can do that. But therefore, at the same time, the overall mass of people, the public at large, is not forced to receive it en masse. Those that choose to have it can have it, just like with the so-called vaccines, which are just injections. They're not vaccines at all. But if you must have it, that's your individual choice, but you can't force it on others, nor should it be put in some sort of common pool.
Right.
And so but the press never speaks in terms of principle at all, ever.
True.
That's one thing they can't talk about, even the concept of it. But, you know, I found something very interesting when I was going through my files. I'm going to go to, this is a little different. What we got here? We're gonna share something a little bit here. Oh, boy. And where are we at here? But bear with me.
Looking good.
This okay. Spangler on the Free Press, that coming through?
Yes.
Okay. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, for the video part of this. Sometimes it's a little tedious to get these things to come up on the screen properly. But this article goes all the way back to May 30th, 1977, the predecessor to American Free Press, The Spotlight, was only, if memory serves, a two-year-old paper at that time. The paper, The Spotlight, started in 1975. That's right about when they brought the late, great James P. Tucker, Jim Tucker, on board to start watching Bilderberg. Bilderberg had been somewhat exposed by Westbrook Pegler, a columnist in the 50s and 60s. He exposed it early on. It kind of took a dive in terms of coverage, and then Tucker turned it up to a fever pitch starting in the mid-70s. But anyway, this is Oswald Spengler commenting in this over 45-year-old article from The Spotlight, the predecessor of AFP. Spengler on the Free Press, and Oswald Spengler was a noted author. He wrote Decline of the West. He's noted for that. This came off of Willis Cardo's website, his online library, the founder of Liberty Lobby and The Spotlight, which led to AFP. And Mr. Cardo passed away in October of 2015. So this is a shout out to him. Like Willis or not, he was a very innovative guy. But moving on, there's some interesting things we can quote here. For instance, here, I'll blow it up quite a bit. I'll start reading here. English American politics, you can see English American right there. It's pretty easy to follow. English American politics have created through the press a force field of worldwide intellectual and financial tensions in which every individual unconsciously takes up the place allotted to him so that he must think, will, and act as a ruling personality somewhere or other in the distance. And that goes on here in the column all the way to the left. In the current milieu of the press, it's talking about man does not speak to man. The press and its associate, the Electrical News Service, which is your TV and radio, keep the waking consciousness of whole peoples and continents under a deafening drumfire of thesis, catchwords, standpoints, scenes, feelings, day by day and year by year, so that every ego becomes a mere function of a monstrous intellectual something. Very, very interesting. And I'll go on. There's some more that is said here that's quite insightful, and the wording itself is quite interesting. Starting with the word gunpowder here in the middle column. This is very interesting, Ron. Speaking of weaponized media, listen to this. Gunpowder and printing belong together. Both discovered at the culmination of the Gothic, that is the Gothic period, both arising out of Germanic technical thought as the two grand means of Faustian distance tactics. I'll keep going. The Reformation in the beginning of the late period witnessed the first fly sheet or editorial sheet, probably a pamphlet, and the first field guns. The French Revolution in the beginning of the civilization witnessed the first tempest of pamphlets in the autumn of 1788 and the first mass fire of artillery at Valmy. Valmy is a region of France, I believe. And moving down, here in the middle column again, today we live so cowed, or intimidated, you might say, under the bombardment of this intellectual artillery that hardly anyone can attain the inward detachment that is required for a clear view of the monstrous drama that we call society. The will to power operating under a pure democratic disguise, that's the press, has accomplished its task so well that the object's sense of freedom, that's us, is actually flattered by the most thoroughgoing enslavement that has ever existed. So this is interesting, Ron. Mr. Spengler is clearly likening the barrage of the press propaganda as to that of artillery. And I would argue that it's more damaging and more dangerous in the sense that because you don't necessarily initially recognize it for what it is, a huge amount of damage happens before you finally say, wait a minute, this media is weaponized. This is hurting us. Now, if somebody's lobbing shells at you, you know right away there's damage. There's no doubt about it. But the artillery of the so-called free press, you don't realize there's bombs going off. You don't realize the damage, the subversion, the degradation, the killing that it does bring, because then it does bring about real artillery fire. When they lied about Germany in World War I and claimed that German soldiers were bayoneting babies in Belgium, and the press ran illustrations of this, and it was a total lie, then the non-artillery became artillery and became a world war.
Yes.
And the German Navy, I've said this before, considered the founder of the Daily Mail newspaper in Britain, the German Navy considered him an enemy combatant and opened fire on his house. Okay.
Excellent. Yes. Good idea.
They realized what Spengler is saying here. Gunpowder and printing belong together.
Yes. Just think of our southern border. You know, the trouble that's caused the country and all the here, the mass media cartel never talks about the negative impact or even the unlawfulness of all this illegal immigration and exporting all of our industry and stuff. All that, remember, that was so good for us, exporting, you know, getting cheaper products. And, you know, we're all part of the global system. We shouldn't be hoarding all these things. And, you know, we need to open up to others. And, you know, and here we are now. We don't produce anything. We're importing everything. And the press has actually destroyed the country. The mass media cartel has destroyed the country in terms of its ability to produce things, to be strong, to have good ideas. It's gone.
Yeah, you know, when you read this, and we can invite readers after the bottom of the hour to chime in on this, calling in. We got about 5 minutes before the first break. When you read this and some other things that I've put aside here for today, I'll try to get to them. There's another article called The Other Side of the News. I may not post it on the screen, but that came from the same paper, The Spotlight, the predecessor to AFP, back in 1975 in September at the very founding of The Spotlight. And now I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here, but I'm having trouble believing that a free press, the journalistic enterprise, is even necessary, at least now, at least in the very least, you could say that because it's so negative, because it's such a harmful thing, as you and I are describing, that we literally would be better off without it.
Yes. I mean, just take another example that slipped my mind, but it's what I talked about yesterday. The move by the mass media cartel to only tell one side of the story of these mass shootings, these so-called mass shootings. They want to disarm the American people more than anything else right now. They just can't have the American population having effective firearms to defend themselves from abject tyranny. And they won't rest until they achieve it. And this is just, it just shows you how horrible this mass media cartel is. It's just, as you say, it's like a large cannon. When you read it, you ought to envision your windows breaking out and people charging in through your front door. It's just that bad.
I dropped something. Hold on. Indeed. The situation is such where, as we know it, the so-called media, the so-called press, the orthodox media, we'd be better off without it altogether. Now, for the alternative media to fill in the blanks properly, we have to do a lot of things the other direction. But even then, we've got to be very careful that we don't assume that we can dictate to people what's best for them. In other words, that for the new media to be the proper replacement, we have to really look carefully at ourselves, how we say things, how we word things, how we do things, and be an adjunct, be a complementary thing to what people do on their own. We don't want to be just another dictating voice, another dictaphone. We might have better ideas. We might have a clearer concept of what freedom means. We might be more truthful, but we don't want to arrogate ourselves above the people. We want to be the people's ally in the broadest sense and not presume to think for them. Although we might share our opinions, they are what they are. They're nothing more. They're nothing less. But we don't want to assume to speak for them. We want to inform them so they can carry on with their lives. That's the way it has to be.
Right. Sounds good. Yeah. We don't want to just replace, that kind of thing where you have just a mass of followers or of certain individuals. And there is that in the Patriot movement. One guy is a star for a while and everybody follows him around no matter what. No matter how ridiculous the concept is, they'll all follow them around till they hear the next big concept, instead of, wait a minute, let's go to the fundamentals, read some of the ancients, look at all of it rather than just taking what the latest guy said.
Exactly. Read John Locke, read Cicero, read Jefferson, read Jim Tucker,
John Adams.
Yeah, you can go through so many things and so many authors, and we need to become very well educated across the board. We need to establish some sort of legacy, like I've talked about, some sort of libraries and archives where people 50, 100, 150, 200 years from now and look at what we did. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
See it through. Talk with a simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them old when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom and papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere we go. And it's the same damn music on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Now, welcome to the next segment here on Stop the Presses, the 15th of February, 2023. We're video simulcasting livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. Of course, I'm joined by Ron so we can dissect what's going on. Another little thing to share from the spotlight, the AFP predecessor, this one from September 17, 1975, around the time of the founding of the spotlight. This is the other side of the news. It was a House editorial by the paper staff itself. In the middle column, it says, supposedly to protect the people from lying and corrupt politicians, we have the institution of the free press, quote unquote, in America. Its independence and integrity guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Constitution. But read carefully what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. One thing I'll point out is that it only says that Congress shall make no law. And I'll also point out that the press is a sundry item, a miscellaneous item in there. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is separate from and before freedom of the press. It's a separate thing. You see? Note the prohibition in the First Amendment is only against the government itself, the article says. Nothing is said respecting the right of non-governmental pressure groups to control the press. And believe it or not, they do have every right to control the press if they can. This is exactly the trouble with the American press today. It is controlled externally by a cabal of powerful pressure groups that have joined together to spoon-feed the people what they want them to know and not know. And the government is more or less the puppet of these pressure groups. Your newspapers, your wire services, radio and TV networks are controlled by big multinational business organizations and certain minority pressure groups, which censor your news just as effectively as any government censorship, et cetera, Soviet Union, et cetera. Now, that's pretty prescient because that's in 1975. And what do we have today? We have social media doing what these minority pressure groups, what was attributed to them in the mid-70s has become social media today, controlling what people see, hear, and read. And it's not really Congress trying to crack down on people's freedom of speech. It's social media platforms or minority pressure groups. So this was a very prescient article, Ron. It foresaw something that's become reality today in the digital world.
Absolutely. Yes, and the mainstream, what was been called the mainstream media, went before these social platforms, social media platforms. I don't see those quite as dangerous as I do the mass media cartel, these big networks. I believe that has captured the people more than anything.
Yeah, the social media, what they do is they slice and dice, and they try to open up avenues and close other avenues, so the mass media cartel's message is advantageous, gets the first dibs, while minority messages like yours and mine don't get seen. So you might say the freedom of reach is controlled more by social media, and then the actual message, the actual propaganda itself, is controlled more by the mass media cartel. That would be my two-second assessment.
Yes. I noticed that, you know, when you hit, like I have a little over 900 friends on Facebook. Well, you know, when I go on there, it is nothing but a sea of stuff. I mean, an ocean of stuff. And even when I post something, I notice that I only get two or three comments, if that, meaning that when I throw something out into the ocean, only three people passing by on a raft out there, they find it in a bottle and they open up, oh, this is from Ron, you know, yeah, Ron did this. And they put a little note back in there and it floats back out, you know. I do get that. But, you know, you're almost better with 15 friends than you are with 1,000, 15,000, because your 15 friends won't even see it if you got 15,000 viewers.
Yeah, we feel like we're casting pennies into a very large body of water, and that's our contribution. And meanwhile, the mass media cartel is allowed to put entire steamships and naval flotillas, metaphorically speaking, with their infrastructure of their printed and spoken word, the print and broadcast media. And so the nature of the message, the infrastructure of the message, and then the avenues by which that message travels are a whole different ballgame with the collusion between the social media companies and the mass media cartel. So we'll be back with more, perhaps some calls, other comments on the press right after these messages. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson, 15 February 2023. We've been taking shots at the press that takes shots at us every day. And at this point, I'm going to steer away, not completely, but a little bit away from that, although the mass media cartel is always a factor in everything. And I wanted to mention, Ron, did you have a comment?
Yeah, we have three callers. We might want to get to them pretty soon, too.
Oh, okay. I was away from the console there for a minute. I don't have the names immediately in front of me. Do you have those, Ron?
I do. Charles from Florida is number one.
Okay, Charles from Florida, you're up.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Hello?
I don't,
can you hear us?
I don't hear you. Hello?
We, can hear you.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I just barely hear you.
Huh. Well, it seems normal on our end, but you can go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I knew John Mitchell Henshaw. He was edited the one of the forerunners of the Spotlight, which is the Washington Observer newsletter, and had to do with the American Mercury that used to be started by H.L. Mencken, the famous philosopher and journalist, and and one of the people that had owned it is Russell McGuire, that I, with the American Mercury. So the Spotlight, Washington Observer, was really came out of the American Mercury, what descends from John Mitchell Henshaw, had been a leg man for Drew Pearson. And he'd been in the bureaucracy for years and years, and he was telling me about the time in 1933 when Prohibition went out, and he was talking to head commissioner of Prohibition in 1933 when Roosevelt and Joe Kennedy had a hard liquor contract on the old East Coast soda, you know, when Roosevelt went into to become president of the United States in 1933, and we had the Joe Kennedy engineered the bank holiday by with his antics on Wall Street and Libby Owens Ford pool. That's about my comment. I knew John Henschel slightly and Alec de Montmorency. I don't know if you ever met them.
I don't believe so. In my years at American Free Press, I knew some of Willis Cardo's former associates, the ones that were still alive. And I would read through a lot of the
files. Willis Cardo, of course.
The Liberty Lobby newsletter was in the archive. I would read those. And Willis was involved in American Mercury in the post-Mencken days. I'm glad you brought up H.L. Mencken. I didn't always, but he...
I think Mencken would have appreciated what happened to the American Mercury and to Russell McGuire. McGuire was persecuted by you-know-who. He and his daughter were killed after their mercury printing plants were blown up by the you-know-who from the Middle East.
Oh, that was the allegation. Yeah, I had heard that allegation.
It's not an allegation. They even had an article, I think, in later Spotlight about the mercury. When Russell McGuire owned it, he was just completely printing plant torched.
The archive. Anything to add?
Pardon?
Do you have anything to add?
No. No.
Okay. Well, we got another call if you want to take them now. Thank you, Charles. That's really good.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate the input always. Ron, who's up next?
All right. That's Andrea from Oklahoma.
Andrea.
Yes. Hello.
I'm sorry?
Hello.
I said hello. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
We hear you. You can hear me.
One at a time. Come on.
Okay.
Andrea, are you there? Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can hear
Hello.
You. Go ahead.
Okay. I sent Mr. Anderson, I think. I sent everybody that I could at RBN to request to watch A Warning from History with Cody Hughes. It's on the JFK assassination of our president. It was an extremely elaborate, well-planned out assassination, and it seems like all these events, like 9/11, was a very well planned out. It's done by the same people. It's like we aren't who we say we are. We're somebody else. We're gonna play like we're Arabs today. Don't look at us. It's somebody else. My request is that it's 7 hours, but it's worth every minute. This Cody Hughes is an ex-officer, retired, and been a private investigator, and he has done lots and lots of work getting all the information together. It's mind-blowing to see how much there's just the book suppository in Dallas was owned by the CIA. They were putting out all the textbooks for all the schools around the United States. So everything is that was produced out of the book deposit the building that they claimed all was well worked in, but he never worked. He never worked there. He never went there ever. There were 9 shooters. I mean, this. I'm trying to entice you to watch it. There's so much information there, and if that is true, and which, you know, at Christmas, these same people put their Torah outside the White House at Christmas. It's giant. It's huge. We are owned. We are not a free nation anymore. It should make your hair stand on end. We are so dumbed down that in Ohio, at this big accident, that the train was carrying, like, I'm assuming, 5 cars of full of hydrochloric acid, and they chose to put a match to it, and it went up in into the sky, and it is going to rain down everywhere. 10 miles away, they're having all their animals die. It's hydrochloric acid. Everything it will fall on will eat through your skin to the bone and through. Our nation is being destroyed by these people. They own our media. It should be treason that all my relatives believe what they see on CNN and Fox and everything, that they are so unbelieving that their country would never, ever lead them astray. It should be treason that no company should get by with these lies and what they're doing. I plead to you, please take the time and watch it. You can find it on BitChute and Rumble. I watched it on Rumble.
One time. I want to make sure I got this right. A morning. Did you say a morning through history? How did you? What's the name?
It's A Warning from History by Corey Hughes. And I sent you email.
Okay, Corey Hughes, A Warning on History.
Yes, and if you think about what happened at 9/11, first of all, supposedly, there was a theft. In the Warning from History with Kennedy, Israel has been, for years, stealing weapons and nuclear material so they could build their nuclear bombs that they claim that they don't have, that they have over 200 to 400 nuclear bombs in that teeny little country, but it's to take over everything and surround them, Syria, Israel, I mean, Iran, Iraq. They won't draw their borders. They won't allow inspections, and they claim they don't have it. But yet, they've been stealing from our country all this this material to make their nuclear bombs. They have been taking endless amount of things, and that morning, the Pentagon claimed that there was $3 trillion missing, and when they went to try and track it down, the businesses were on top of the World Trade Center. They had the lady looked out her window and saw the dancing Jews out there filming before the planes ever crashed into the buildings. And whenever they did crash into the buildings, they were high-fiving and dancing around that morning. If you put in a search engine on the police stopping vans in New York City, you'll find all sorts of vans. And they did find one that was full of bombs. It was full of bombs, and they let all these people go. Now, you know, Larry Silverstein owned the Trade Center. Nobody would buy the Trade Center. He bought it just months before this happening, and he insured it for terrorist acts. So,
yes, Andrea,
we're pretty familiar with most of that.
But the thing is the planning, the step-by-step planning. It's the takedown of our nation that is now seems that they call it theirs. How many senators in our Congress are have dual citizenship. I mean, this has to stop. The dumbing down from our country, if those people were smart enough at this horrible accident, they would have never struck a match and put it to it. And they don't allow any reporters up there because they don't want this information getting out. So anyway, that's thank you for your time.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you retracing some of these key points about 9/11. Dave Gaheri, who used to work for AFP, he did some considerable research into the so-called Dancing Jews and found it to be, in his view, a credible thing and a very worrisome thing. And, of course, Jonathan Pollard was the well-known Israeli spy. For those that doubt Israel steals American military secrets, look no further than the case of Jonathan Pollard, who stole umpteen military and other secrets and then was later exonerated. And so I believe we have other callers.
Four of them, in fact. Yes. Rick from Arizona.
Now, I would ask each caller to be relatively brief so each caller can have a chance to talk. Ron, who do we have next?
Rick from Arizona.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what she's talking about is the title of that documentary is called A Warning from History, The Uncensored Story of the JFK Assassination. It's hard to find. When people call in and tell you to go watch something, you got to really look hard to find it. I went to Yandex and typed it in. If you type in A Warning from History, you're going to get titles all over the place. But it's really good to watch. As far as Pollard goes, Pollard stole all that stuff from the Navy, gave it to the Jews, and the Jews gave it to Russia with the trade-off is they'd let the Jews come to New York. And so when they did that, the Jews came to New York. They corrupted Trump. They got into Trump's skin. And that's where Trump's Russian collusion stuff really comes from. Trump has gone back with the Russian mob all the way back to probably the early 80s. He was hooked up with that Rothschild agent, Wilbur Ross, who ended up to being his Secretary of Commerce. And then as far as the media goes, unless you take the media away from these people, we can't beat them. Because William Pierce basically tagged white people as lemmings. And a lemming is somebody who refers to the television to see what everybody else is doing. And that's how they control you. I mean, when 9/11 happened and they had that idiot on the street saying that, oh, you know, the fuel melted the steel and the floors collapsed, once they played that over and over again, everybody thought that's what happened. It referred to the TV, that's what it said, and that's how they got away with it. Because people only want to do what everybody else is doing and thinking. And so unless you take the media away from these people, I don't see we have too much more of a future other than, you know, dancing to their tune. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, I would just interject that I've said much the same thing in the context of the power of the establishment with a capital E is ultimately based on banking, the monopoly of credit, and privatizing what should be a function of government, that is the issuance of money. And then, however, if you wanted to end the Fed, let's say, or do anything about the money thing, the reason you're not going to get very far, if you get anywhere at all, is because the media is like a blockade. The mass media cartel is their means to prevent you from going after the banking juggernaut. So therefore, unless you get control of the media or supplant it or replace it, you can't take over the existing mass media cartel. It has to be basically abolished or replaced. You can't storm that ship and take over that ship. That ship needs to be mothballed or sunk, and we need to create a new one. But unless we get around the media, replace it or abolish it, whatever might happen, then other reforms are going to be exceedingly difficult, whether it be monetary reform or anywhere else. But going on with the next caller, Ron.
Yeah, Mitchell from Tennessee.
Mitchell, hello.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey.
Listen, whoever are the, quote, bad people, whether it be Israel, the Jews, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, they only have control by using the apparatus of this thing called the government. Now, Ron has mentioned many times that this government has been dissolved. And so there should be no political authority. That's That's in principle, in theory. In reality, it still exists. The government should be considered illegitimate and no longer exists, but the people in government continue to wield power as if it's not dissolved. And the point that I want to make that everybody misses, what's really propping up an illegitimate government? Judges, edicts, or legislators' laws and so forth are the police and the military. This ultimately comes down to the enforcement agents, the people who are going to go hands-on and say, you must do this or you cannot do that. You guys never seem to talk about the enforcement agents. That's where the rubber meets the road. The
well,
media
that's
is being
why
protected by the police. Everything's being protected by the police.
That's why we can't let them have our guns.
Do what?
That's why we can't let them have our guns, because that's why they want them, because they want to force us to do whatever they want us to do.
And they, when you really break it down, are the police. The police are the ones who are going to say, well, I'm just doing my job. What is that word? Amtssprache. I'm just doing my job. You can't do that because the law says so. To be honest about it, the police, Ron, aren't even legitimate. If
well,
we truly have a dissolved, illegitimate government, then there should be no police. None of these people have any legitimacy at all. That's where we are. If you want to say that government's dissolved and illegitimate.
Well, I'm in agreeing with you. I think that's the essence of it.
Okay, so
but
I would like to start at this point and move forward. We don't need to talk about, you know, these bad people and these bad people and the history of that. We know all that. RBN listeners know all that. Like this complete reiteration of what happened on 9/11. Everybody on RBN knows that. What are we going to do about all this? And I maintain that it ultimately comes down to the enforcement agents in this country. Like I'm here in Memphis, you know, like those five officers that just beat the hell out of somebody.
Yeah, well, Mitchell, I'd rather not pick on police officers and the military. These people are as dumbed down, maybe dumber than we are. And the problem is, what we need to do is determine what lawful government is, write the charter for it all over again, a new social contract that reflects true principles of lawful government today in our modern world, and declare the other one, declare an observation of the dissolution of the other one. And if we don't do that, we never will have lawful government again.
Okay, well, we've got to do something. And I'm not trying to pick on the military and the police, except the ones that are the bad ones. I mean, but I'm just making the point that's, again, that's where the rubber meets the road. Those are the people who are going to go hands-on. A judge is not going to get a gun and say, well, by God, I'll go make you. No, a judge is not going to. A legislator, they're not going to do it. The president's not going to do it. It's going to be the people who wear badges, uniforms, body gear, and have weapons. Those are the people who are going to say, you can do this or you cannot do that because we said so. The law says so. They're the ones propping up an illegitimate government. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, I'll just interject very briefly. I think a lot of police and military, especially sheriffs, ultimately would be on our side. And I would still contend that the media is still the main blockade between what we ought to do and actually doing it. The people with guns and badges can be a problem. Certain personalities, certain elements and factions of that, that's true. But I think a lot of them, as they get to know the truth, and a lot of sheriffs are constitutional sheriffs, they understand that the media is the enemy. Let's just say that word, because that's really the ultimate word that comes to the fore. But anyway, we want to move on and try and get the other callers in. Ron, what do we got
now?
Yeah.
All right. Murr from Wisconsin.
Ah, Murr. Okay. Go ahead.
Hey. Hey, I have you up on live stream, and I just, muted RBN because the volume, there is a differentiation there going on. So, and especially Mark was really low, so I just turned the volume up on it. Of course, muted right now. But when I heard Andrea say Cody Hughes, I knew it was Corey Hughes' work she was talking about, so that was one reason I called in. And there was a Red Pill 78 circulating about the JFK thing, and they're bringing Purim into it. It looks like a Purim thing going on. But Purim is in March, not November. So it might be anti-Purim. You know, but what we got to get control of is the money. You know, the media is run by the people that have the money. And we've been bankrupted since 33, March 9, 33 to be exact. And they took over the money, okay? So the banks run everything. And all we have is agencies. Whatever legislation is passed, the agencies get the legislation and flip it 180 degrees. So it's not the enforcers. They get paid, too. I mean, we just had this big object lesson with this DIVOC. That's what it is. It's not COVID. DIVOC, DIVOC, is switched around the word. It's Hebrew. And it means a demon on your back. And you can look all that up, D-Y-B-B-U-K. But a man in Romania put out an article in May 2020, and I've been circulating that since June of 2020. But also, Pfizer, if you turn that backwards, that means plague. And burning. So we're being we have spells cast on us all the time. And the basic one is usury, is this money system. From that, everything else stems. Okay, so it's not the media in control, it's the money that's in control. And they're making the media do what they want. And John O'Looney, the funeral director over there in England, that's been outspoken about the damage being done. And you're having others that come forward, and they won't say the name of who, you know, because they can't where they are. But they'll say, just say it's the same ones running everything. And it is the same ones. And they want their new world order, and it will be based out of that little Mideast country. Okay? This has been in the plan for thousands of years, actually. But we won 2,000 years ago. We know that. So, but there was actually a secular general that Steve Bannon brought up, too, that... You know, that these things with the aliens, so or whatever they want to call them, and it's evil is what it is, okay? It's demons. And they feed on children just like all these other demonic, satanic worshipers, and that's how they get what they want. But he said if it's true that Jesus Christ is coming back, he said, I hope so, because that's the only hope we have. And this wasn't a believer.
You know, we've run out of time. We only got about 3 seconds left.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I would just conclude. I know we can hold the music back a little. I would just conclude by saying that, yes, the media is controlled by the banks, and the ultimate control is in banking usury and the monopoly of credit. But to get at that monopoly of credit, to get at that, you've got to get past the media or go around it. That's their protectorate. That's their protection scheme. And so we got to get around that in order to make the fundamental monetary changes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to thank all the callers. We might have not gotten to one. I would ask that caller to call back, not only to this show, but to other RBN shows, including Ron's show, Tuesdays and Thursdays, The Search for a Lawful Government. But thanks, everyone, for calling with your very interesting views. And stay tuned for the next show here at RBN. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, here at Stop the Presses. Have a great Wednesday and the rest of the week.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.